So, Acts 1:8. Oh, well, you can look it up on your Bible. But it said it talks about how the Spirit of God came upon them, and he says, "Wait here until the Spirit of God comes upon you." And how he would you'll receive power. You receive power. A lot of great ministry on about the Holy Spirit, and one of the big things was, you know, that the Holy Spirit is always with us. He was with people in the Old Testament, but Jesus said he's not going to only be with you, he's going to be in you. And so that's what happened is when Jesus came. Now, if you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But then there's this other thing about being baptized or having the Holy Spirit come upon you. Like he came upon Samson, you know, and became strong. Well, now in the New Testament, now we have total access to the Holy Spirit all the time. That's the great promise. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't just to forgive us of our sins. It was to make us qualified so the Holy Spirit could actually come and reside with us, be our partner. We're now the temple. You know, they're all excited about, you know, rebuilding the temple, but we are the temple. And this is where the Holy Spirit resides now. And when the veil was rent, I thought this was a great thing. They said, not only did it give us access to, but it released the Holy Spirit from being limited to the temple that was built. He was then released to come upon all people and all flesh and to dwell with all of us and come upon us. And you see, you receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And I looked it up afterwards. I was just looking at that, and that word upon, to come on, it talks about how, yeah, the Holy Spirit comes on you and you receive power. But it also talked about how, you know, the word can be also used to say that sickness and disease came upon you. You know, calamity comes upon you. There's things that actually come upon us that affect our whole life. And as I looked at that, I just thought, you know, we need to receive the Holy Spirit's power coming upon us to make us witnesses. But we need to not receive the other things that are trying to come upon us. I think there are attacks. There are things that just come upon us. There's cancer that can come upon us, and diseases that can come upon us, and depression that come upon us, and discouragement and all that. And we have the choice of what we get to receive or not receive. I'm going to read to you out of Ephesians, the third chapter. It says this, Ephesians 3:8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which was for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Part I want you to kind of look at, and I encourage you to start thinking of this, ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. What does it mean in verse 10? So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. The Bible refers to demonic strongholds and Satan's cohorts that are rulers and have authority. It means they take power in the heavenlies. And most everybody agrees that the heavenlies, it's not talking about this word heavenly can be the heaven that we'll go to, but it's also just talking about the atmosphere above the earth. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's a powerful thing. That's something I'm working on daily, aren't you? Man, just casting aside the cares because he cares for us. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I shared with you on that last week. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. I believe the purpose of God is for that Christ came was to receive back all the people that he loves back into his family and give them that opportunity to absolutely be pure and spotless and blameless and have an intimate relationship with him and to fill his house up. And so thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The dominion is supposed to come, to the earth that's already in heaven. And I believe that what we've talked about before, when the Father said, Jesus, sit at my right hand until all of your enemies are underneath your feet. And I believe Jesus is going to sit there at that place beside the Father until all his enemies are underneath his feet. And we're the body of Christ, so it means underneath our feet. I believe that the plan is for us who are in the kingdom of God to execute, to pray. Jesus said, pray this way, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. And that's contrary to a lot of people's thinking of just, oh, God, the world is going to go down in flames, and you're going to grab us and jerk us out of here, and be over. But I'm not so sure we got all that. I don't have all the answers to that, but I don't think anybody else does either. My dad studied this all his life, and on it, when he, the last few months of his life, we were just talking about him. He's over 100 years old, and he just said, my biggest disappointment, John, was they were all wrong. And I said, who was all wrong? He said, everybody that thought they knew what was going to happen in the end times. And that was his departing thought was, they're all wrong. I'm just saying, I'd encourage you to be kind of open to look at things a little bit different and fresh, and not just some of the things we were taught might not, might be technically still happen. I don't know. I guess in some ways, I'm not that curious anymore. I guess I don't really need to know. I don't think it's worth arguing anymore. What will be, will be. But what I do know is that he said, until I come, stay busy. Until I come, keep doing the work. Until I come, keep praying this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Until I do come, do what I, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And 1 John 4 says, and he was sent to destroy the works of the devil. Paul said in Romans 12, he said, abhor what is evil. Thank God we're not encouraged to love or appreciate evil. And that word evil means just suffering pain. Thank God we don't have to like it. In fact, it goes a little stronger than that. He said, abhor it. Get disgusted with it. Get angry about it. Get mad about it. Get vicious about it. Get aggressive with it. Jesus came to save us. And that word, again, sozo, it means so much more than just a ticket to heaven. It means prosper down here. Be free from anxiety. Be free from fear. Be healed. Be made whole. Be made complete. And so we got a devil that we need, and it says, humble yourself before God and resist him. James says the same thing. Humble yourself and God will exalt you. But resist the devil. And the word resist means take a stand. Take a stand. When I was dancing, I gave a little bit of this. Fight! Fight! Why? Because it is the purpose of God that we win. It is the purpose of God that we help others win. That we take a stand. And no matter what our physical abilities are, my father keeps telling me, he said, John, he keeps encouraging me and just said, your latter days are going to be way better than your early days. Well, you know, this is what Andrew said is true. I looked at the video of my dancing and I thought, man, that's not as energetic as it used to be. I am looking a little older, you know. But on the other side, though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is getting stronger and stronger. My inner man is grown. My inner man is being perfected. Yours is too. It's getting stronger and stronger. He said, man, hold in there. I'll perfect you. I'll confirm you. I'll strengthen you. I'll establish you. And we can do more when we just check out of our fit. We put no confidence in the flesh. We put it all in the Spirit of God. And when he tells us to speak, when we speak, those words are powerful. When you're younger, you just figure you can go do it without speaking, which you can, some of it. As you get older, you finally realize, man, why am I playing with this cork gun and squirt gun when I've got a bazooka? I've got something way more powerful. I'm supposed to declare unto the principalities and powers in the air what's going to happen. And that's what we did. You know, I'm not saying, how can I say this, but it's brought back home some of the things I learned in my early days and kind of let some of it slide a little bit and got focused on other things. But it's like, man, our battle's not with flesh and blood. Our battle's not with the insurance agent. It's not with anybody else. It's not with city governments. Our battle is principalities and powers. And that's where we need to take our weaponry and we need to pull our sword out and go to work. And you can do that in the middle of the night. Last night I got a text from Babe up in North Dakota. There's fires all around there. And her brother's property is just, it's the fires are real close. And, you know, she's a real partner with us. She's part of our family. And so, and her brother. And, you know, and I just said, well, we're going to take authority. I'm going to speak and say, fire, you listen to me. Principalities and powers controlling these things, you stop in the name of Jesus. You say, well, what if it doesn't work? What if it does? Well, it didn't work that time. How do you know? I mean, I'm talking to myself right here. It's just like, why are you such a chicken, John? Just to stand up and believe what you believe. And why go out just observing? Everybody's, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Well, I have to wait and see. Well, yeah, there's a place for that maybe, but there's a place also said, I think I need to step up. I think I need to be part of the answer. I think I need to take the sword that's in my mouth and use it. I need to start speaking what he's told me to speak. And Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what the Father tells me. That's the same commission on us. Part of it is you got to believe that he actually loves you enough and appreciates you and respects you and is not disappointed in you. You cannot do this if you constantly got guilt and shame for your past or even your present. You know, there's times when I'm listening to these guys, and I'll be real honest. Once in a while, it's like, man, get me out of here. I'm starting to feel like I'm a wuss to see some of what some people are doing. But they're sharing their highlights. Just like me, I'll share some of my highlights with you of the great things, but you also hear some of my defeats. And in all reality, you know, like the guy said about the stock market once, he just said, you know, I lose way more deals than I win. I've had way more losses than wins. In my life, I could give you 1,000 pages of the losses and the things that didn't work for me. I mean, in some ways, I could really sell a case of I'm a failure. I've only won a couple things. But my losses are real minimal. It's like money. It's nothing. It comes and it goes. My losses are like looking like an idiot. Oh, how big a loss is that? So what if everybody thinks you're a fool? I mean, really. Remember in high school how you felt so bad if somebody made fun of you? How you worked so hard, you know, not to be the last, you know, and now you look back and go, what? It doesn't make a bit of difference. My losses have been many, but they've been minimal. But my wins are huge. I'm now a joint heir with Jesus. I now walk with God. I'll never die. You know, Todd was sharing quite a bit about some of the bold things he's been doing, and you know, literally risking his life. And he goes, "They'll come up and say, you know, we'll kill you." And he goes, "You'll just send me home. I can't die. To die is to gain." Hebrews says, you know, those who all their life lived in fear never got to really experience life because they just were afraid of dying. When you finally realize you're going to live forever, all of a sudden, you know, you can stand. And what's beautiful about it, when you stand that way, you all of a sudden realize, they can't touch me. My father's made it very clear to me. He said, appreciate those who've given their life through the years, like the Apostle Paul. But he says, what is that to you? You follow me the way I've called you. And I can't tell you how many times he tells me, do not die. Now, isn't that an interesting word? Like it's up to me. He said, don't be a martyr. You know what that means to me? It means when I go overseas sometimes and maybe somebody pulls a gun on me or threatens me, I don't need to submit to it. I need to say, well, take your best shot, but I ain't going because I got work to do. I'm going to take the authority that I have. I'm going to step into the authority. I've been given the authority of the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? And I mean stand in your heart. Sure? I don't know what I'm going to do here. Praise the Lord. So literally, I want to encourage you. We're a small little body here. You know, we're believing God, and we're going to keep on going. I know we will. But, you know, if we were wiped out, it wouldn't be that big a deal. You know, if we all went home, you know, or if we all quit, the kingdom of God's going to go on. But what if we go ahead and just get gutsy right here in our little group and just say, we're going to take a stand. We're going to go after the principalities and powers. We're going to tell them to shut down and shut up and get out of here. We're going to release the angels to do the work that they need to do to help people. We're going to speak to the diseases. I'm going to tell them to be gone. We're going to let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon us and give us power to be witnesses. People that have experience, that's what that means, have experienced the relationship with God. And we're going to go for the win. And it doesn't matter how many times we have some small losses, we're still going to go for the win for everybody. We're going to pray for people. We're going to believe for people. We're going to love on people. And we're going to take a stand. Why not? I mean, how good a news is it that we're not against anybody? We're not trying to take people out. We're trying to take the principalities. We're taking the principalities out. And we love people. Wasn't it awesome as Todd just told that first Muslim, I love you. And the look on his face when that's a pretty cool story, isn't it? That's for our encouragement. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we're standing here, not just physically, we're standing spiritually before the throne of God, and we're believing that you actually did do and say everything that you did and said, that it's all true, that we are now the children of God, and that you've given us your authority, and you've given us your name. And Holy Spirit, we're just asking you to teach us and show us and train us how to do warfare against the principalities and powers and the evil one that's trying to take people out. And give us courage and give us wisdom and give us understanding to then just love people. Love our families. Love our wives and our husbands. Love our parents. Love our kids. Love our grandkids. Love this community. Love people. Give us the courage and the freedom. You died for us to be free to walk in love. And we want to go for it, and we want to win. And so we speak to the principalities and powers here and say, your plans and your purposes for Sturgis, we cancel them. We tell you to be gone. Your plans and purposes of destroying the Black Hills and all this land and the fires and the Bighorn and everything, we tell you, you stop and cease. There is a name above every name, and his name is Jesus, and we belong to him. And he belongs to us, and we're taking a stand. And Holy Spirit, I thank you. We're standing, and we will not be seated. And we will not be dethroned because you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we're serving you, and we go for it in Jesus' name. Amen.